It's Friday, December 14th, 2012, and welcome to episode 142 of Tech Talk for Teachers. I'm Tom Grissom.
And I'm Cindy Rich.
Welcome to Tech Talk for Teachers, the show about teaching and learning with technology. This time, in our December episode, we've got a good show for you. We're going to talk a lot about the new Windows 8 tablets coming out.
Right. That's a great way to wrap up the year.
Yeah. And we want to remind listeners that this will be our last episode that we post here. We're going to take the end of the month off and enjoy some of the holiday cheer and things.
That's right.
So be sure to catch us back around. Probably the middle of January will be our next episode.
Wow. 2013.
No. Oh, I know. It's not hit me yet. But yes, another new year. So we will have just kind of a laid-back conversation and just a discussion from an educator's viewpoint of what we're looking for in the tablet world. I've recently purchased a new tablet, so I want to kind of go over some of the things that I've looked for and gone down the checklist. So then sit back and relax, and we're going to be talking about tablets. Well, Cindy, I finally did it.
Did you buy your Christmas present for yourself?
Yes, I did.
I hope you finished other people's buying before.
I'm almost done.
Almost, okay. Well, but priorities.
Yes. Last time we talked about the tablets are coming.
Yes, and you had given a lot of thought and had quite a wish list of what you wanted your tablet to do.
I've kind of went down the check boxes, and I finally found the tablet that I've been looking for. So I finally bit the bullet and went out and purchased. I ended up with a Samsung. It's called an Ative Smart PC tablet.
Nice.
And this one is with the new Clover Trail Atom processors. And one reason that I chose this particular model, one, Windows 8 being relatively new coming out, and then secondly, the Clover Trail processor is an x86 compatible, which means it runs old Windows programs.
Oh, that's helpful.
There's a lot of confusion in the marketplace right now because Microsoft is advertising their Surface tablet.
Right.
And that is based on an ARM processor. They're calling it the Surface RT, but that will not run the programs that we're used to running, like QuickBooks or like some of the other applications like Audacity for the podcasting and things that I do. So I was kind of in my checkboxes going down, wanting something that would run the millions of applications that are out there on x86. And one of the trade-offs with the Windows Surface RT tablets, they don't have that, you know, that catalog of old apps.
Right. And so to save time from learning, you know, it's just that learning curve and the familiarity we have with programs that's important.
Well, it's kind of, you know, what is your intent for using the particular tablet that you want. And this is really a hybrid device. So we're really going through quite a transition right now. We're kind of going from the old PC desktop laptop paradigm into this tablet world. And the easiest way I think that I can explain this tablet is this Samsung Ative, and they also make an RT version of this, so it does get confusing. But the x86 version, the Clover Trail version, what it reminds me of is a cross between a tablet PC, you know, from the old days, you know, been around for a decade, and a mobile phone.
Oh.
So what they've done is it's a solid-state device.
Okay.
It's got a 64-gigabyte solid-state hard drive. Has 2 gigabyte of RAM, and then it also has the Clover Trail processor, but it also has what they call connected standby, which is kind of a technology that conserves the battery that we're all used to with our cell phones, and it has an instant on and instant off. So if I press the on-off button, it goes off. If I press it again, it comes right back on.
Wow.
10-hour plus battery life is what they're advertising it for. And then the big thing, and I had quite a wish list last time whenever we were talking, you know.
Yeah.
It does have a full-sized USB.
Nice.
And that is the selling point for me for this tablet. because whenever we give these, you know, to a teacher or to a student, you know, we want them to go out there and do whatever project it is, and then we need them to get it to us in some way.
Exactly.
So, you know, with the iPad, we need to set up accounts and you know, do something with the iCloud or Dropbox. Mm-hmm. This one gives you the flexibility that you can just simply save to a USB drive, just like you do a regular PC.
Which is really nice, because more and more teachers we find we're collaborating on projects. And so that's the sort of thing that makes it easier.
Or if you're sharing, you know, like our podcast, mm-hmm. you know, just copy a thumb drive full of, you know, audio podcast or video podcast for that matter. And then it also has a micro SD card slot that gives you an additional 64 gigabytes of storage. And you
so
know,
if
with,
you want that just to leave in there all the time
right.
to have available.
Mm-hmm. And I use, you know, the extra storage to do some of the video podcasts and things that I subscribe to and watch. So it makes it handy to make it portable. And it's so much quicker than downloading if you have, you know, if you have a video on. Or in our case, you know, whenever we're using it in teacher education, sometimes we want to record something. It has a front-facing camera and a back-facing camera.
Nice.
And this one comes with Microsoft Live Movie Maker, so it does complete video editing. Now, I didn't go all out. This one also comes with a snap-on keyboard, but it was another $100, so I had to draw the line somewhere, so I didn't do that.
But otherwise, you've got your touchscreen keyboard, right?
Yeah, you have the regular touchscreen, and actually, you have three choices for your touchscreen keyboard. You have what I call the traditional QWERTY style, and then you also have, if I can bring up, let me just bring up Microsoft Word. That's the other huge benefit. This is the full version of Microsoft Word, and I was showing you earlier, you touch that in less than 3 seconds, Word is open and ready for you to go.
And that's very nice, because a lot of trips that I take, I have to take the laptop because I don't use my iPad. Mm-hmm.
And then the second type of keyboard is what I call the thumb keyboard. That's the other unique thing about this particular tablet. It's a 16x9 format, so it's a long rectangle.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no way that my thumbs can reach to the middle because it's about 12 inches wide.
Right.
But thumb, it puts it on, you know, left side and the right side.
Wow.
And then the ultimate thing, and this was the one that was really hard for me to hold out because I've been needing a tablet for a while and I've been waiting for the digitizer. So mm-hmm. just like the old PC days, I have pen input. So I can come out here and write whatever it is that I want to put on. I need to hold it so it doesn't rotate here. So I'm going to write my name, and it'll go out and recognize it and put it in wherever I have, whatever I have open. In that case, it was Microsoft Word. So let me go back here. It does the window snap features. If you're familiar with using Windows 7, we can make it snap to the left or the right. It does side-by-side features. So I've got my Microsoft Word open here. And we go back to the keyboard. See if it'll recognize that. Probably not very well. It did.
Oh, there you go.
And then I can just say insert, and it does handwriting recognition on the fly.
Wow, very nice. That's great for notes when you're doing, you know, notes for a meeting or
right.
anything.
Right. Now, let me see if I have my thumb drive on me. I know, just trying to describe this for our listeners out there, but because it has the USB drive, I can plug in a regular USB thumb drive and open up a document that I have stored there.
Mm-hmm. And you were talking earlier about intent. What was your intent for this tablet?
I was looking for a multi-purpose production tablet.
Okay.
Specifically designed for teachers and students. And in my mind, we needed to have expandable storage, mm-hmm. something that we could plug in, take away. Of course, it also has cloud storage. It uses Microsoft SkyDrive, so we have kind of the best of both worlds there. But I've got my USB drive plugged in here, so I can go down and open up a document. So I'm going off my thumb drive, and it opens that up.
Oh, very cool.
It also does annotation, because this is a true pen-enabled tablet. It comes with this little stylus, which is called mm-hmm. the S-Pen, which is what Samsung calls it. But because it is a tablet PC, I can go out here and make notes in Word.
And so that'll, and then you can save those mm-hmm. notes and annotations into your Word document.
Because Microsoft Office is pen-enabled. It has been for years because of the tablet PC experience. But those are like annotation, digital ink on top of that. So that could be a student's paper. You're an English teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So you could do the old-fashioned handwriting on top of this. and then save it back as a Word document and send it to the student as an attachment.
Very nice.
I don't know if you ever used track changes in Word, which, mm-hmm. you know, I've used, but it's a little bit cumbersome. I had to do my dissertation that way, going back and forth. So kind of have bad memories of some of that because there was so much editing involved with it. But we can do, you know, this essentially can become a smart board.
Oh, heck yeah. That's what I'm thinking about with different primary sources, with maps and mm-hmm. different things like that, or documents.
Right. Oh, for your maps and exactly for the Library of Congress.
Right.
You know, if you were, whatever, Civil War or something, doing the Battle of Gettysburg and explaining it and circling, you know, here's the Confederate sure. troops and, you know, doing the different military maneuvers and things. Yeah, that'd be great for that.
Right. Because then the students can actually interact and engage with mm-hmm. the primary source. And mm-hmm. that's awesome.
And then the one that I mentioned, I think we mentioned last time, another holdup that I was doing. If you've never used OneNote on a tablet PC, it is a fantastic application. Mm-hmm. I was talking to another professor earlier, and one of the things we were talking about is, you know, this is all well and good for me because I grew up with cursive, and I like doing handwritten notes.
Right.
But in our schools, particularly K-12 schools today, they're talking about doing away with cursive.
Right.
So that may be a lost art going in out there. But what I love about OneNote is, again, it is pen enabled, so you just write your handwritten notes and you're able to go out there, change ink colors, choose your highlighter pen, whatever it is that you want to do. And let me go out here, open up. I've got little notebooks off here to the side. Mm-hmm. It's even sophisticated enough that you can click and turn on your microphone and record audio as you're taking
wow.
notes, and it remembers where you left off.
And so you can have multiple notebooks multimedia, or yeah. Oh, yeah. sets at a time?
Multiple sets. So here's what I call my EIU notebook. So these are some meetings and things that I've been in. This is the seventh day I've had this tablet. So I have written some blog entries because I wanted to give other teachers, and this, you know, kind of my first impressions and opinions of this tablet, both the good and the bad. You know, there's been a couple of bumps along the way. But it's a learning experience, and as I run into issues and things, I try finding solutions and document those out there so that other people that may go down this road. And, you know, this is just one of, you know, thousands of devices coming out there. Lenovo's got one coming out. And, of course, all the other major manufacturers out there, you're going to see a lot of these. But they're just now coming to market mm-hmm. In high availability. So I'm liking it so far. It has the widescreen, which allows you to snap. You know, I was showing you some weather applications and things. So mm-hmm. You can snap something off to the side so you could have your email open. And then as you were working on a Word document, as new messages would come in, you would see them off
see
to
them
the
right away.
Left side
nice.
Or right side.
So that, you know, much like your desktop, that's how I have my desktop set up.
Mm-hmm.
And that, so do you see something like this replacing the desktop, that somebody might hook it to a monitor and a keyboard and use
yeah.
it from there?
Yeah, it's capable of doing that right now because, like I said, it comes with a keyboard and a clamshell mm-hmm. design, what I call a transformer. You know, I've got that Android transformer with a clamshell case that
yeah.
you can pull off the keyboard from this. This is a similar type design, and yes, I do. They'll make docking stations. You're going to see a lot of, you know, a lot of different ones. Of course, you know, vertical industries like the medical profession and things like that, have, sure. doctors have used, you know, tablets and things for years.
Right.
But they're finally coming. Those were in the thousands of dollars devices. You know, they're finally coming under $1,000. And this particular tablet retails, I think, $649.
Well, so. That's, yeah. Because I'm thinking, you know, it'll be nice when we're not switching from different types of equipment all the time and
right.
using the same one. And
right.
I know that there are people who have been doing that for a long time, but, you know, it's just not something that I've made the full jump into. I thought I could use a laptop as my desktop
mm-hmm.
and that, and I did, but it's now I'm starting to use a regular desktop again, and I like the monitor. Now I know I could hook that monitor to a tablet.
Right. And it's the same thing, you know, we've been having the arguments about the iPad and things, whether it's a consumption device or not, you know, a production
yes.
device. This one, because of the expandable storage, the USB, the HDMI out that you can go to a monitor or buy one of the adapters and go to a VGA so you can plug it into a VGA projector,
right.
like we have in all of our classrooms. This essentially you can go in and plug it in and you're off and going.
Okay.
Pair it up with a Bluetooth keyboard
yeah.
or a wireless keyboard. And you're literally, you know, you literally have the PC. Now, what I'm doing at home is I have a micro HDMI to a regular HDMI cable that I plug this into my TV, and then I can hook up a Bluetooth keyboard, or in my case, I actually use a I bought a Logitech K400, which is a radio frequency, and it has a little USB dongle that's a radio receiver, and because this has a USB port, I just plug it in up here, and then I can, let's see, I don't know if I've got it. Yep, it's right here. What I like about this one, and I can put some links in the show notes for this, because we're trying to describe here over audio, but it has the trackpad off to the side with a left and right mouse button. And this is like $34, so it's a very affordable.
So how hard would it be for a teacher to hook something like that to a projector in her classroom or his classroom?
You have to have, and it's a $30 or $40 adapter. It's about 6 inches long. It's very similar to what we use with the iPads, you know, plugging into the VGA adapter, and then you literally just plug it into the projector, and you're off and going.
So perfect. Nice.
So, and, you know, being a, now Windows 8 is different, but being a Windows computer, many people are familiar, you know, with the standard interface. It is a little bit, it is a dual personality, because, like I said, we're at this transition point where this is the next evolution with the solid state devices and kind of molding the mobile operating system with the PC operating system. So as the processors have become more sophisticated and more powerful, we're able to put more and more power in a smaller device.
Right.
So that's just the consequence of, you know, all the advancements and things with the technologies and things. But I'm really liking this so far. And then whenever you pair it up, if you have a Microsoft SkyDrive account, you know, you save your documents and they're up in the cloud. So if I would happen to forget this tablet and need a document, when I get home, I can log into the internet and go to my SkyDrive account and it's stored right there.
And it's available.
We were talking a little bit earlier, you're using G Drive, you know, with Google Docs and things.
Right.
It's a similar concept there, or with iOS, with the iCloud.
Right.
The issue there is, here we go again with all these different systems and the compatibility and things between
right.
them. So,
and the logging in and everything.
And multiple accounts and passwords.
Yeah. Because I previously, when I was working on a couple of documents, I'd work on them at the office, then I'd go home, I'd email them to myself. And so I'd email it to myself. Well, then I'd make changes. I'd email it to myself again.
And which is the most
office.
Recent version.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I would have, you know, because I'd try to add something to the end of the file name or something
right.
like that. And, you know, so that was sometimes a pain because I would think I was pulling up one version. I'd make changes and be like, oh, son of a gun, that's not the one I wanted. And so that's something I'm liking about the Google Drive that I'm using because I do have access to that most recent one, and I don't have 10 copies of it floating around.
Right, and keeping track of all those changes, that makes it nice.
But you know what? That's a whole behavior change.
It is. It's a different paradigm.
It is, because we went from, you know, our very first computers that, gosh, how much memory did we have on those?
I don't want to say how old I am. Apple IIe's
and all that good
64,000 kilobytes. Not megabytes, not gigabytes, kilobytes.
So we went from that. To then we went through the stage where we wanted tons of memory
right.
on our hard drive so we could save everything there.
Right.
And we finally got rid of those paper sheets that we
right.
were saving just in case,
right.
you know, and the floppies and the
right.
zip drives and all
and
of
now
that.
We're kind of going back the other way because of this cloud storage
right.
and things. So we don't need those terabyte hard drives because we have that storage up in the cloud.
And that's something I've talked to a couple of different people recently that they're struggling with.
Mm-hmm.
They still think they want the one that has the biggest memory in it. And when I've tried to explain, you really don't need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't convince them.
Yeah. Well, I think back in 2009, Ray Ozzie from Microsoft coined the phrase three screens in the cloud. That was kind of their vision of where they thought things were going, and the three screens being a PC, mobile phone, and a TV.
Oh.
So those are kind of the three different form factors.
Right.
Now, back then, whether they called the PC / tablet the same thing or not, that's a debate that's ongoing.
Right.
How do you, you know, is an iPad a PC or is it a tablet? You know, is this thing, you know, the Samsung Ativ, is it a PC? Is it a laptop because it has a clamshell keyboard that can make it into? Actually, the way I think of this is the next generation of netbook because it's not, you know, it's 11.6 inches, so it's grown a little bit. The old netbooks were 10 inches.
Right.
But with the Windows 8 operating system, You know, we have the best of both worlds in that we have the start screen with all of the what Microsoft calls the Metro style apps, very fast, very snappy. And then if we need to go back and get some serious work done with our old ways of doing things, we've got our desktop and everything's familiar. We've got a file manager. That's the other huge thing. A file management system to me is still needed.
Yes.
I think someday, you know, people are talking about we won't need to do that anymore because we'll just, you know, save it wherever and just do searches to find things. But having things organized still, just in my mind, just being able to retrieve them
right.
helps me. So we've got that going, all the different, you know, we can snap the screen. So we've got multitasking going on here and I need to do a video. I'll be doing a video here sometime over Christmas break here when things slow down. But, I have been blogging my experiences out there and I started another, ITC blog. So I'll put a link in the show notes and at least share what we've done here for the first 7 days.
So what, in your experience so far, what's been the highlight?
The highlight is the productive use right out of the gate. I downloaded the entire full-fledged Office 2010 application. It's not an app, it's Office 2010.
Wow.
So if I'm doing sophisticated financial analysis with macros and things in Excel, this will run it.
It's the real deal.
If I'm doing, you know, Word documents with track changes and some of the, you know, the headers and footers and things that we do.
Sure.
And preserving the document fidelity, all the spacing and everything, this is Office 2010, the full version. Now, I've not really pressed it because I have seen so many press reviews knocking the Clover Trail Atom performance. But this is faster than my desktop PC, and I'm running an i5.
So it was that a mobile? It's not a mobile version of Office?
Nope, it's the full deal.
It's the real deal.
Yep, this is a 32-bit operating system right now, but okay. it's the full version of the 32-bit. This now something like SPSS that's going to use a lot of processing power.
Mm-hmm.
An Atom processor is going to probably not be sufficient. But coming up here in the next month, we're going to see the next version of this particular device in the what Intel calls their i3, their i5, and i7 processor line, which are the heavy-duty, heavy-lifting processors, the very fast processors. And it's essentially a PC at that point. This one's a trade-off. This one's kind of what I would call a tweener device. You know, it's not a super, super powerful PC, but the trade-off is I've got 10 hours battery life.
Nice.
The faster processors are going to have less than half of that.
Oh, okay.
Because they're using more electricity for all of sure. those high-speed calculations, so the CPUs use more battery, so the battery life's not as good.
And so when you're not in one office all day long, it's nice to have that battery life that you can
And
carry just, it with you and do what you need to do.
Yeah, and then just taking back and forth in the evening, I've been very pleased. I did update all the drivers. This being a new device and Windows 8 being a new operating system, you know, there's going to be frequent updates. And I have updated all the drivers. One thing that I've seen out on the internet is that some people are complaining about wireless connectivity.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm able to take this from here to home. It connects automatically to my home network. Bring it back here. It connects automatically to Eastern's network. And, you know, I don't have to click the wireless icon. Very rarely would I have to.
Very nice.
If something goes out, you know, you can just shut it off and turn it back on to reconnect. But a lot of apps, you know, it's fun with the touchscreen experience. I've been using Windows 8 for over a year now with a keyboard and mouse. But the touch, it's designed as a touch first experience. And having my left and right thumbs, I almost always hold it in landscape mode. But I can very quickly on the right side, if I swipe in, I can pull my start menu up. And on the left-hand side, if you just swipe, 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 that takes you through multitasking
That's
with all of the different
very
ones.
Very nice to easily be able to access whatever you're running or whatever you have going at the same time.
Yeah, and if you pull it off, right here's all the applications. So if I want to go to that one, I just simply click on it. Or if I want to close it, it's a bit strange the way that you close an application. You drag it off from the side, and then you drag it down, and it closes. If you used an Android tablet, they have like a list view that you swipe it off the side of the screen. And then on an iPad, if you like double click the home button, it brings up the icons with the little
red X.
With the little red X, and then you click the red X on each one of those. This, I mean, is much more efficient. I mean, it's very, very quick. I'm just amazed at the speed. They've done a remarkable job optimizing this.
It's a very impressive piece of equipment that you use for your job.
Productivity. Yes. Yeah, I have been writing a lot of blog posts late at night and things on this. So I've been using the keyboards and things and being able to post it and put it up on the internet. Usually get that done about 10, 11 o'clock at night. So. it's a very nice tablet. The other thing, this is the what we would call the consumer view, consumer version. But you can actually put Windows 8 Professional, which would give you, for those of that are a little bit more technical, would give you a Active Directory support. Uh-huh. So here at Eastern we have our single ID. We could log into the EIU domain and then have like drives mapped and share resources and things back and forth. The microphone with our new Desire to Learn learning management system.
Sure.
There's an audio record, so I can make an audio note. Just simply click record, and all in a handheld device.
Very
just a
nice.
Little over a pound. So it's a very nice, very nice. I'm calling it the super tablet because I have not seen one that does so much multitasking. Provides the pin input with a digitizer screen, allows USB input, micro SD card, and the HDMI out.
Oh, yeah.
The only thing that I guess I could wish for, and I mean, I'm just marvel at the engineering involved with this. It would be nice to have a second USB port. I guess I could always buy a splitter.
Getting greedy, Tom.
I know. But one day these USBs, we're going to look back and that's like a floppy drive, It's like,
exactly.
I can't believe we ever used those things.
Right.
We're headed that way.
Or,
but,
it used to be you got 2 gigs and it was, I forget how much it cost, and now.
Right.
Nothing for them, so the prices have dropped.
Right, but in the lifestyle that I live and taking things back, I'm not near Wi-Fi all the time. So in those cases where you can't connect to SkyDrive or Google Drive, the G Drive, you can't do anything. But if you have a local copy either on the hard drive or on a USB drive, you can still get work done and not be connected.
And that's just a smart thing to do. Mm-hmm. And especially, like I said, when we used to print out that paper copy just in case something mm-hmm. happened to our floppy disk. And those of us who are still a little leery of what could happen to that cloud or SkyDrive or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that it's always smart to have those backup.
Yep. So I will provide a link out there to the first 7 days of the blog that I posted out there. And if you ever have any comments, or if you have one of these devices or a similar tablet device, please... please let us know how it's going for you.
Now, have you done your Nook or Kindle or any of those? Have you started reading your books or mm-hmm. listening to your...
I put the Kindle app, so my entire Amazon library is
very
available.
Very good.
It is a little bit different because it's so rectangular. And if you hold it up in portrait mode, that's a little bit long for me.
I
still kind of prefer the landscape mode. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you can make one column or two column reading. I prefer one column. But it is a little bit wider than an iPad. But that extra screen real estate is so you can snap another application off the side and keep
sure.
open for updates. So.
But boy, those seamless transitions on those things that we already use.
Mm-hmm.
The older we become, the more we yes. become creatures of habit.
Yeah. Yeah, pinch and zoom making the text a little bit bigger comes in
there
handy. My technology pick of the week this week is the Google Zeitgeist 2012 guide. Every year, Google puts together kind of a compilation of all the searches and things that's gone on in the past world, and kind of it organizes things by category. And we'll provide a link in the show notes, of course, but it says there's been 1.2 trillion searches.
Oh my gosh.
Over the
That's
past year.
That's amazing.
In 146 different languages.
Very cool.
So we definitely are worldwide now in the Google universe. And this basically what Google Zeitgeist is putting together what the world searched for in 2012.
Sort of like Barbara Walters' 12 most interesting fascinating people.
Yeah, since we're coming up on the end of the year, we kind of look back on the past 12 months and just kind of see what's been happening. And it's broken into different categories. So they have a search based upon the world, and then they have people and images and athletes, feature films, events, people. And we're just talking a little earlier, but the number one people search was Whitney Houston.
This is worldwide?
This is worldwide.
That's interesting.
Of course, it's probably heavily weighted to the United States. But Whitney Houston, she passed away earlier this year. Right. And number two on the people list is Kate Middleton and Amanda Todd. And that they provide the top three, but they also provide kind of a top 10 list. If you click on a link, it will expand and go through. And just, we haven't discussed this, but what do you think was like the top trending event?
Oh, I would think the Olympics.
The Olympics? Let me see. It's number three on this list. Number one, it might have to do with the currency, the most recent event, but Hurricane Sandy.
Oh, wow. And that hasn't had that long to compile.
No, but yeah. But again, you know what? The impact on the East Coast.
Especially New York City.
And I'm going to show my ignorance on how hip I am here with some of these things. They have like TV shows and performing artists, of which, you know, I haven't seen or heard of some of these things. So.
Well, now we were both just singing the praises of Rush, though. So yeah. We're cool.
Oh, yeah. 20 years ago, but.
They're still cool.
Yeah. So we've got that going on, and also this time of year, as I say, we're in December here, so everybody's kind of looking back over the past 12 months, and Facebook has done something similar. I'm not real active in Facebook, but I was reading an article that said that you can go into your timeline, and they kind of present like a timeline of you over the past 12 months.
Oh, wow.
So I need to ask one of my students out here to probably check that out and see.
Right.
And it's also a reminder that all those things that you post on Facebook are out there.
Still there.
And can come back in different forms. And Twitter also has done the same thing.
That's really interesting. You know, I mean, as someone who's tried to start a journal every year, forever, and I've never been able to stick with it.
Yeah.
So maybe that's a good way to document some of those things.
Yep. And again, you know, with your digital resources and preservation things,
right?
Again, some of the unintended consequences of having those things out there, it kind of is a timeline of your history and with your digital footprints.
It is. So. And, you know, that's one of those things, too, that looking at historical events through the eyes of regular people.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool. And we've talked about that before. That just gives you a different perspective than what we see on the news.
Right. And in the Library of Congress, you know, they have those collections and things. And I've not seen it yet, but the Dust Bowl series and things. But I know the Library of Congress has a series of reflections, you know, audio recordings and things back over. So that's my technology pick of the week. This time of year, we're kind of looking back over the past 12 months. And, you know, it's just something good. You might want to go out there, and if you're using this with students, you might want to preview this because some things, not all things, might be age appropriate. So,
but they'll probably know a lot more than we will what's on there.
Okay.
Very cool. All right. Well, for my tech pick, something I've just kind of been playing with at home and my husband joined in, is we each had our iPads, and I found, you know, way back when I took piano lessons, and we have a piano at home, but I still, you know, tinker around on it. And I downloaded the piano app for the iPad and was playing with it. And got the bongo app for the iPad. And so it just got me thinking about all the different musical instruments and things that are available. And there are a lot of things that you can get. And one that I just discovered was a bagpipe.
Okay.
You know, that was kind of cool.
There's for all you bagpipe players out there.
That's right. And, you know, guitars, xylophones.
You name it, it'll be out there.
Oh, it is. And it, you know, but it's kind of neat because it ranges from early childhood to pretty serious recording, you know, tools and things like that. And so, it was something different. So I thought, okay, well, you know, now over break, maybe people have some time or... What a better way while you're driving in the car to, you know, drive your family crazy.
Yes, nothing like that 8-hour trip across the country listening to
over
bagpipes.
And over playing White Christmas, you know. And that, but there's just a whole I mean, there's hundreds of these mm-hmm. musical instrument apps. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, you know, if nothing else, it's a fun thing to play.
It is a good time. And I think about that, too, because sometimes I get so wrapped up in the technology. And I might take that even a step further and go back to the analog world and actually play the real instruments and things. Just as right. kind of a mind switch, you know, to it's just refreshing, you know, to explore some of those, you know, talents that you've had in the past.
And, right, that you haven't played with in a while.
Right.
And, you know, I was looking, and some of the piano ones they have, they light up and show you
oh, yeah.
which key. I mean, it's like a little piano lesson mm-hmm. in your iPad. And then, so it was, I thought it was really neat. And the music that you could get, and after you finish so many songs, then it would give you other songs, mm-hmm. sheet music that you could download. So it's just a kind of a fun way, something to pass time, a little different than silly games and things, that at least it lets your creative juices flow.
Mm-hmm.
A little more productive for your brain, mm-hmm. I would say, and that. But yeah, so that the musical instrument apps are my tech pick.
That wraps it up for episode 142 of Tech Talk for Teachers. Show notes for this episode and archived episodes are available on the web at the EIU Instructional Technology Center website at eiu.edu/ITC. To leave a comment or suggestion, please send an email to techtalk@eiu.edu or leave a comment on the Tech Talk for Teachers blog. Until next time, this is Tom Grissom
and Cindy Ritt.
Happy holidays and keep on learning.